Praise be to Allah, Lord of the world's King on the Day of Judgment. And the peace and the prayers be upon our Prophet Muhammad and upon his predecessors, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. And upon those who follow the guidance of God to the Day of Judgment. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, it is not from books only that we learn. And I would like to share with you a conversation I had the opportunity to listen to in a Muslim home between a young teenage child and her grandfather. The child said, "Grandpa, they say you are a good Muslim. Can you tell me what it takes to be a good Muslim?" And the old man replied, "My sweet, the basic thing and the foundation is to believe in God. Do you believe in God?" And the child said, "Oh, mother always told me that God is, and I trust my mother." So the grandfather took one of the books of the girl and asked her, "Who wrote this book?" And she immediately looked up the cover page and told him the name of the author. And he said, "Suppose I tear away the front page and suggest to you that this book has written itself by itself without a writer. What would you say?" And the girl said, "This is impossible. A book cannot write itself without a writer." So he said, "Then let us read the book of nature. Let us look at the whole universe, which is far more difficult than writing a book. Would you believe that this universe created itself without a creator?" And the child said, "Got it, Grandpa. Yes, there must be a creator. There must be God." And so he told her, "Look at God's creation then, and you'll immediately find out that we human beings are unique creatures. Because we have knowledge that we can increase. We have the concept of good and evil. We don't describe horses as doing good and evil. But only we humans have the concept of good and bad. And we have the freedom to choose. And therefore, we are accountable for our choices. You do good, you meet good. You do bad, you meet bad." The child said, "Well, so far sounds reasonable, Grandpa." And so he said to her, "On the note of accountability, we come across people who live all their lives in sin and they enjoy it. And the people who live all their lives struggling for the truth and they die. So where is the accountability? And if this is the end of the story, it would certainly be an exception to the pervasive system of delicate balances upon which this universe rests. So therefore, there must be another place even after this world it is over to face our accountability. And this, we Muslims believe, is called the hereafter. where we'll be shown our deeds and stand accountable for our choices and stand before God. He either handles us with his justice or with his mercy and forgiveness. And in order that Allah, God, in his lovingness, helps us pass this test of accountability, it was his will to keep us reminded and posted on what is good and what is evil, and to keep us reminded that we will be accountable for our deeds someday. And so God sent his messages and messengers, a long, long chain of them over history, including Noah, including Abraham, including Ishmael, Isaac, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. And they conveyed to humanity the moral prescription that God wants people to abide by. And this moral code is the same in all religions, including the last monotheistic religions that we call the Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And although the Jews do not recognize Christianity or Islam, and although the Christians and the Jews do not recognize Islam, Islam recognizes both, and we are taught to believe in Moses and in Jesus. And in spite of differences, they are recommended to our kindness and care and fraternity as the people of the book, the fellow believers in the one God, the fellow recipients of messages from God, the Torah and the Gospel, and those who abide by the same moral code as we do. And the child said, "Grandpa, but they do not recognize our religion and do not recognize the prophethood of Muhammad. Should we hate them for that?" And the grandfather smiled and said, "My sweet little one, a heart that is filled with the love of God has no place for hatred. We are recommended to love, starting with the love of God. But we are asked to behave in love all the way. Love yourself so that you don't do any harm to yourself. Just love those closest to you, starting with your parents, because the Quran teaches us that kindness to parents is second only to the worship of God alone without taking associates with him. And love your neighbor, because Prophet Muhammad teaches us that it is not lawful for us to eat till satiation at the same time when we know our neighbor is hungry. And we love all the people because as humans we are one family. We are all cousins because we are the progeny of Adam and Eve. And because Allah honored humanity and the Quran says we have honored the children of Adam. And not only love humans, we are taught to love even animals. And the Prophet teaches us about the man who encountered a thirsty dog unable to reach the water in a deep well. And the man took the effort of going down and filling his shoe with water and offering it to the dog, at which God felt grateful to the man and decreed that paradise would be his lot. And we are ordered to love the nature around us, So that the removal of dirt from the street is a charity in our religion. So that we do not destroy the environment around us or pollute it or poison it. It is a one-way channel of love, my sweet little one. And the child said, well, Grandpa, these are the things God loves us to do. Are there any things God does not love us to do? And he said, yes, my child, God loves not for you to fall into evil and fall into sin. But it is our rule to enjoin righteousness and forbid evil. But remember, my child, that the instrument by which you can recognize what is good and what is evil is your mind. And therefore, anything that kills your mind or numbs it, like drink or drug, would be unlawful and absolutely forbidden in Islam, because if your mind is lost, you become just another animal acting on the spur of the moment or in the spur of unbridled instinct. And God loves you not to be selfish, but to do unto others what you wish the others do unto you. And God loves you not to lie when you speak. And God loves you not to backbite people. And God loves you not to be dishonest. And God loves you to be clean and clear and pure and chaste. And the child said, what is that word, Grandpa? What does chaste mean? And he said, Allah, God, created humanity from males and females. And after a certain age, he willed that they feel attraction to one another. And Allah made the unit of humanity not the man nor the woman. Like it is not the unit of water to be oxygen or hydrogen, but both in unison. So that the unit of humanity is the family, which means a pairing off and individual selection. When a specific man chooses a specific woman from amongst all women, and she accepts him from amongst all men, in order for those two halves to unite and become the unity that we call the family. And it is a unity in the spiritual sense, in the moral sense, and in the physical sense, because then they have the right to enjoy one another, to have sex with one another, and to procreate their own lawful children born under the umbrella of a legal, authentic marriage contract. And so, my child, when boys and girls or men and women go and live together or sleep with one another without that authentication, without the marriage contract, it is unlawful in Islam. And the child said, but Grandpa, this is not what I see around. This is not what goes on in school or in the society at large. Everybody sends the message that this act is a normal act, a physiological act, nothing wrong with it. The only requirement is to make it safe by the male side wearing a condom in order to prevent spread of infection. And the grandfather said, it is in those societies that abide by this licentious rules, my little one, that pay the high price of disease, syphilis, gonorrhea, chlamydia, herpes, and lately AIDS, that exact a very high toll in terms of human life and of human happiness, apart from money. And this, my little one, cannot be prevented by a safe technique. They are prevented by preventing the cause. They are preventing by abiding by God's laws that say one to one and only in lawful marriage. And she said, oh, but what about the majority of people not abiding by that? And he said, no, my little one, this is the majority of people before your eyes. But do know that hundreds of millions of Muslim boys and girls and men and women are abiding by God's law. And in Muslim countries, the rate of virginity amongst girls at marriage is in the region of 100%. But there are those who want to market and promote sin, because God always had his enemies. And it is your choice to be on the side of God or on the side of the devil. And my little one, we as Muslims are blessed because we are given enabling steps that give us the strength. As we pray five times a day, we are in audience with God five times a day, so it is unlikely we forget him. As we fast the month of Ramadan, nothing by mouth, from dawn to sunset, for a complete month. This is the drill and the exercise for willpower and self-control and self-restraint, which is the missing element in easy, licentious life. And as we experience hunger in fasting, we remember the poor, so that Islam also enjoins on us to pay the zakat tax, which is the dues for the poor from our own money. And this, my dear little one, is not nothing new. It is not anything new. It has always been the religion. It has always been God's prescription along the whole chain of prophethoods and the messages. It is nothing different, because the Quran teaches us. God says in the Quran, the same religion he established to you as the one he enjoined upon Noah, and that we revealed unto you, and that we enjoined upon Abraham, Moses, and Jesus, that you should steadfastly uphold the faith and break not your unity therein. It is the same chain. It is the same root supplying the various different stems. And the people who derive from the root of divine guidance will live happily, and hopefully will make the others happy as well. To which the child said, now I get it, Grandpa, and I promise you always to abide by the laws and rules of God as depicted in Islam and in the other religions. My dear brethren, at the epic of our civilization, at the summit of scientific achievement, at the top of our strength, our current civilization is threatened by carrying the seeds of its own destruction in its own body. And every human being should be concerned for that. And the Muslims, like the rest of humanity, should realize that it is the common duty to save humanity from the abyss it is about to fall into. Because where there is no God, everything is possible. and the happenings of today bespeak a very gloomy tomorrow. And it would be our duty indeed, and our test. God does not put us only to the test of praying and fasting, but of what we do with our prayers and fasting. It is here that we charge our batteries only to use the electricity when we are going out there. And we are the physicians and humanity is the sick person. Maybe we try to introduce the medicine to humanity, but through suspicion, through negative image about Islam, they think that it is poison we are offering and not healing and cure. But it behooves us to be the nice guys who go with a smile on the face, with grace and with wisdom, and stretch our hands to the others and toss our heads together about how best to carry out the message of God on this planet, because the role of human being on this planet as specified by God is to be God's vicegerent, to manage this planet upon God's prescription.